two sports in professional. He's a professional all-star baseball player, and he was an all-pro running back. And it was a commercial that says, Bo Knows. In other words, Bo Knows dancing, Bo Knows basketball, Bo Knows wrestling, Bo Knows football, Bo Knows everything. And that's kind of like Dale. He just does everything. So that's the Bo Jackson, all right? Now that we got that out of the way, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
And although it's a day where we're weeping with those who are weeping, and it's understandably, when someone goes on to glory, we miss them, but we rejoice where they're at, because they are in a better place. But the reality is we live here absent from them, and it's not easy. So I know I can just see as a church you guys will rally around, not just last Wednesday, but ongoing. And knowing your pastors, they're so pastoral. This is a place that people will be looked after that way. Amen?
Amen.
So that's pretty cool. But anyway, I am from Albert Lea, Minnesota. You can probably tell by my accent. You know, I'm kind of like a person. I'm trying to be like Jesus. He didn't have a home, had no place to lay his head. Because in Australia, they know I'm American, but when I come to America, people think I'm Australian. So I just tell people I'm from the United States of Australia. How good is that? Do you guys love the snow?
Yes.
Who doesn't like snow?
Get it.
Who likes snow? Man, we are in the right place other than the pastor. He didn't raise his hand, so I'm on tough ground here. But I got to be honest with you. I prayed when I was getting ready to leave Australia. We're in summer right now, so my family's at the beach today. Of course, they're sleeping right now. It's Monday in Australia, and so they'll be getting up in a few hours. But we're in beach season. Australia, especially where we live, is lots of beaches. And so we're in the summer months, and we got the, as they call it in Australia, cozzies. You know what cozzies are? Costumes, which are your swimmers. Things that you wear when you go to the beach. So in Australia, they call them cozzies. And then I shared this last time. I'm going to see who was here and who wasn't here. When we were up at, was it Daniel's restaurant? You know, if you're sitting at a restaurant in a booth and you're having a private conversation and someone's listening in on your conversation, what are they doing? That's right. But in Australia, if you do that, they call you a sticky beak. I know. How many remember that from last time? Oh, then maybe I didn't say it. Okay. But anyway, we've been in Australia now 14 years, and we are a part of Hillsong, but I am not a singer. I can sing, but I don't get paid for singing. So therefore, I don't do it publicly, but I'll do it with you guys. And you guys did a very good job today. And of course, Dale was singing today too. Bo knows. But let me tell a story before we go into the Word. It will not be long today. As I shared last time I was here, blessed are the short-winded, for they shall be invited back. And I was invited back, so I wasn't too long. So I'm well aware of the fact that the Vikings are on today. And some of you, because this is a kind of a rural area, you drove a few miles to get here. There's snow out, and so they're going to be kicking off against the Chicago Bears today. Is that right? Shouldn't say that here, mate. And as my fellow brother was saying, he's pulling for the Vikings today. But what was I going to say till he interrupted me? I see you've already got me. I just got started and you got me messed up. I'm going to stand back here and hopefully we can get it back. But yeah, when I was getting ready to come over here, I was believing for snow in case my parents, they know that every time I'm coming, they'll say, you know, we haven't had snow yet if it hasn't happened yet. And I said, well, you can bank on it. We're going to have it when I get there because I'm praying for it. And I like it for the craziest reasons. I love shoveling snow. And I know some of you are thinking right now, okay, come to my house. I would love to if I had time. In fact, I've already told my brother he can't shovel his driveway because when I leave here, I'm going back to shovel snow. I just love it. I love to sweat. I'm like Dale. Not quite as good as he is, but how many here like shoveling snow? How many hate shoveling snow? How many have snow blowers? How many would have one if you could afford one? How many's ever heard the word Walmart? All right, let's get started. Let's pray. Now, if I get you going, Angela, I'm going to be really in trouble. We've got so many preachers in this crowd, but let's pray. Are you leaning forward in your chair?
Yes.
That's what Pastor said. Let's pray. Father, We've had a chance to connect and have fun with each other, and it's just an honor to be here, but I want to ask you to anoint what I say today. I believe that you'll give me a word in season that'll fall on the ears of people that are sitting right here, that'll help them with their Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And so, Father, as much as we're inspired and encouraged today, and we need that as we gather together, I thank you that this is a church that is overcoming throughout their week. You're positioning them, you're favoring them, you're empowering them for all that you want to do. And I thank you, Lord, that I can have a part in that process. In Jesus' name, and all that agreed said,
amen.
Amen. Well, listen, I want to talk today on the journey of faith. You know, in preparation for coming here, I've been kind of in a theme of my own life, talking around leadership and faith. I teach in the Bible College at Hillsong. We just graduated hundreds and hundreds of students. It's a great time of the year because as much as we love to see them graduate, we also are very sad to see them leave. So there's always highs and lows. There's smiles, there's sadness. And so, but the cool thing about it is, we've got over 65 nations represented in our Bible College. So I drive 7 minutes every day to reach 65 nations. It's a pretty powerful thing. But one of the things that I focus on in my teaching is on teaching on leadership and teaching a lot on journeying in faith. Because the reality is we're all called to lead. See, the unfortunate thing is that doesn't happen here, but in a lot of churches, people come to church just to receive. It's kind of a bless me club. It's what do you got for me this week, Pastor? What are you going to feed me this week, Pastor? What are you going to do for me this week, Pastor? What are you going to speak over my week? And that's all good, and that's all fine, but it should never stop there. It's so much more than us. And that's what I always challenge the students with in Bible College. I says, as much as you're here, it's not just for you, but it's for those you're going to reach. And the reality is this message today, and this church exists in Dodge Center, yes, it's for you, but it's so much more than you. It's for those that are yet to be reached. It's for those that are hurting because of loss of a family member. It's for those who are going through financial challenges that need assistance. It's for those that are trying to know how to navigate relationships properly. It's for those that are trying to believe God to position themselves to go forward in life. That's what this place is for, but it's even for more. Can I get an amen with that?
Amen.
So I want to talk today about the journey of faith. And I know for my own self, I'm thinking back a few years ago, I got saved in November of 1982. In fact, how many of you were born after 82? How many of you are kind of my age in the 50s, 40s, 60s? It's kind of nice to go to a talk to a group of people. You have people your age. Most of the students are anywhere from 18 to 25 years old. So when I talk like these kind of dates, they look at me like, I didn't even exist back then. What was it like back in the dinosaur days? So I feel like I'm amongst my people today. But I got set, I remember I got saved back in November. And I can honestly tell you this, that it was an incredible experience. And it changed my life forever. But you know, the reality is, many people that are trying to learn to live a life of a journey of faith, there's challenges with it. And you know, the reality is we all face things. And we could sit here today and talk about all our challenges, all of our setbacks, all the ways that things didn't work out the way we wanted to, but the reality is faith is working in our journey. God has a plan for us. He's not done with us. There's more for us to do. And I truly believe that our greatest days are still in front of us. You say, are you just trying to hype us up today? Well, I think that's better than coming here and saying you're defeated, you're distraught, you're not going to make it, you might as well give up, the economy's not going to change, how do you know you're really saved? That's not what we come to church for. We come to church to preach the truth and let people grab a hold of it, let it become a revelation to you, and then charge forward into all that you're called to do. But I hope this, what you're doing, is not just for you. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
We are here for such a time as this, to reach others, to impact others. And we all need to have that salvation experience. And so I remember, I don't know why it happened this way, but I was down in Houston, Texas, and I went to Westheimer Baptist Church. And this church seemed different. It kind of like here, you know, people were actually smiling when they're leading worship. I don't know where our worship, well, there's a few of them here. Bo's still here. But the worship team were actually passionate about what they were doing. They had a smile on their face. They're engaging the audience to engage with God, or engage in the church, if you will. And it was a really pretty cool experience because I've been in church my whole life, but I just didn't see that. If it was I was blinded to it, what, I don't know. But that particular church that I went to, I never figured, I talked to this guy. I said, man, I want to be saved. He said, well, they've just given an altar call. Why don't you go down and accept the Lord? And I says, no, I'm not gonna. But here's what happened the week before. The week prior, the senior pastor's away on holiday, or as we say here in Dodge Center, vacation. See, I switch over to Aussie sometimes. I'm sorry if we've been there 14 years, you know. And so the associate pastor was speaking, and he was probably a little bit more timid than the senior pastor. I'd only been there 2 weeks, but I could see the senior pastor was very confident, like your pastor, but the other guy was a little bit more passive. So when he gave an appeal for people to be saved, when the senior pastor did it, the altars were filled. But this particular Sunday, when the associate pastor did it, nobody responded. So what I did that particular Sunday is I actually got out of my chair. There was about 800-900 people in the audience. I walked down to the front of the church, and I began to encourage this guy and pat him on the back and tell him what a good job. Put yourself in this picture. It's a Sunday morning service. They don't know who I am. And I come down to the front, not to get saved, but to begin to encourage the guy and pat him on the back. Well, he felt uncomfortable, felt a bit embarrassed. So finally, when he realized I wasn't there to get saved, in the best way he could, he kind of just pushed me back to my seat. So that's why we go forward one week, and I say to the guy, when he says, Tom, why don't you go down and get saved? I said, no, I went down last week and nothing happened. True story. I was there, Bo. It really happened. And so he says, well, what are you going to do about it? I said, you come to my house today, John, and you pray with me because I want to receive Jesus. He said, okay. So he comes to my house. We lived in an apartment, and it was first level or second story, if you call it. And he comes into my house. He was in Houston, Texas. Didn't offer him anything to drink. I wasn't very Texan. I didn't offer him anything. Didn't offer him a chair. I just put my hands out and said, all right, pray with me. And so he prayed the simplest Lord's Prayer, the simplest prayer with me. I received the Lord, but I can honestly tell you, something happened to me. So everything changed. Everything looked more beautiful. Everything looked brighter. Everything looked more glorious. There was like a happiness came over me, for the lack of a better word. And basically, I went back to the door. I opened the door, and I said, John, see you later. Have a good day. But here's what happened next. I went over to my neighbor's house. I knocked on the door. I'd only seen this guy once. And I said, do you know who I am? He says, yeah, you're my neighbor, aren't you? I said, yeah, I am. So we basically said hi to each other. And I said, I need to share something with you. Something just happened to me. A guy from the church prayed this prayer with me, and I know something happened. I'm changed, and you need that same prayer. Give me your hand. You talk about bold evangelism. Didn't even get him a chance to respond. So now, Bo, stand up here, please. You're my role model. You do everything else. I said, give me your hand. And I just took his hand. I prayed the exact same prayer with this guy that John had just prayed with me. And you know what happened to this guy? He began to weep. Now, can you cry? Can you put it on? All right, go ahead. Be seated. I know there's something he can't do. And this guy began to cry. And the presence of God became so real. But here's what I want to say. How many of us had a similar experience, a similar encounter, but through our journey of faith, it waned away. We've lost it. It's not as real anymore. When the reality is, in God, we should go from strength to strength. God should be more real to us today than he was when we first met him. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
And I'm here to encourage us today to say that I believe that our walk in God should go from strength to strength. I believe that where we were back then should be nowhere where we can be now. Now, if we are still there, we're just barely past, that's okay. This isn't a place of condemnation. This is a place to be encouraged, to be admonished, and to be built up. Amen?
Amen.
Can I get an amen?
Amen?
So let's move forward. So let's talk about today, what is the purpose of our faith? If we're going to have faith, it must be for something. If it's just to say faith is faith, well, no, I really believe there's a reason that we're given faith. And this is what I believe. You might want to write this down. But I believe the reason that we live the journey of faith is because the reason we study the Word is to give us faith. Now, you see, some of us here have Bibles. Now, don't look at your Bible. Don't expose yourself. I'm not talking to you personally. But some of you have Bibles that have every function that's ever happened before, every place you've ever been before. It's so chock full of notes. But that's not an indication that it's a Bible that's being used for the right reason. All it is a filing cabinet. In fact, if we had, you know, Bill's home going the other day, Bill, right?
Yeah.
Sorry, I apologize. Jim's home going. Maybe you're here. We had the nice little piece of paper put together with nice things on it. And then maybe you're here, so you stick it in your Bible. But let the Bible be more than a filing cabinet. The purpose of the Word is to produce faith. The purpose of your faith is to keep your mouth in check, to keep your understanding in check, to keep your actions in check until you receive from the time you say amen to the full manifestation. Whether you're 4 years old or 40 years old or 58 years old, the whole reason for our belief system is to keep in check how we live our lives. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Can I get an amen?
Amen.
That's exactly right. The Word of God is alive and active and powerful. The Word of God is life-changing. We need the Word put inside of us. In fact, think about this. Let's look at God. How many believe that God's a good example for where we can go? Let's turn our Bibles right back to Genesis. Genesis chapter 1. I'm going to try to make this as simple as I possibly can, because I believe in the simplicity is where the revelation will come that will enable you to outwalk this day in, day out. Some people say, is there a new revelation day, a new truth? No, it's just the truth that we find in the Bible day in, day out, but just working it out day by day, bringing about change. You see, some people underestimate normality, but normality in routine can be a great thing. Especially when you live in a community like this. Now, I got in a little bit early because I was allowing for traffic. So I thought, I thought I'm just going to leave a little bit early so we make sure I'm not late. So I got in about quarter to nine, had 45 minutes. So I went through the city, went down to Quick Trip, got me some mints, looked around, drove around the community a bit. But it doesn't take a rocket scientist to work out how this city functions. There's people that consistently, day in, day out, live a routine. That's not a problem. But how powerful that inside that routine, get a revelation each day of God's Word to become more alive and more active in the things of God and have impact in people around you. Not being crazy, not being fruity, not being super spiritual, but just being the most normal, nice, relevant, radical person in the community that there is. When people need help, they come to you. Not because you're going to get on your knees and begin to pray in tongues. Maybe that's what you do, I don't know. But it's because they just know there's hope in that person of consistency. See, this church has been in this community how many years?
27
years. That's consistency. That's faithfulness. That's showing up week in, week out. That brings great stability to a community. How powerful if you and I can become that strength, that pillar for this community. Not waving the banner of our church, but just having Christ inside of us that just emulates from us, that brings hope and assurance to people. True, Bo? Amen. Just look at here, Genesis. Is everybody doing good so far? It's not too much snow. We're okay, right? Don't be concerned about getting home. We're going to get you home. If I have to shovel you home, I will. But look at Genesis chapter 1. Right in the beginning. Talking about the journey of faith. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, if God created the heavens and the earth, we need to find out how He did it. Because I have a feeling we're going to live our lives on the earth the same way God did and does. Because aren't we emulators of God? Imitators of God? Didn't Jesus come and show us how to live our life? Not a worse life, a better life. Now look what it says, verse 2. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the deep. Darkness was upon the face of the deep, sorry. And the Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit of God, was hovering over the face of the waters. You know, the Holy Spirit was hovering in the beginning. I wonder if the Holy Spirit is still hovering. I wonder if the Holy Spirit is still active and alive today right here in Dodge Center, in Rochester, in Claremont, in Austin. I wonder if that same Holy Spirit is still active and just waiting to hearken to the words of people that will speak forth words of faith. Look at verse 3. Then God said, if you got a marker, highlight that in your Bible. Then God said, what happens as a result of it, we know about, but the point that you need to be aware of, God said something. The Holy Spirit was hovering on the earth, but then God spoke. You know what the key to your faith is? Learning to speak. Did you hear me? Learning to speak. I have a feeling, in reading Scripture, it seems to me like silent Christians don't receive from God. I have a feeling if we would learn to speak things in line with God's Word, the Holy Spirit is hovering across the earth getting ready to do things. People say, well, it seems like every time I pray, it doesn't work for me. It does work for you. It's working 100% because you already told us. It seems like when I pray, it doesn't work. So it isn't working, and you're having your results. What if you changed what you said and said, it seems like every time I pray, the Holy Spirit begins to move. And maybe if my belief system would allow me to keep in check what I think, what I say, and what I do until the manifestation happens from the time I said amen, maybe I would have more results. See, God doesn't work on our time system. See, we think as an American God, He's supposed to do it our way, 31 flavors, whenever we push the button, it needs to be now. He's a now God. Bless God, I'm an American. I have 257 channels. I can do what I want, how I want, when I want. And if my wife don't like it, she can have her own setup in the other room. But this is my room. This is my setup. This is my computer. These are my channels. This is how God works with my life. When I push a button, it responds. Well, no, He doesn't work that way. But He's always on time. And if you begin to activate your faith, you're going to see results. Are you hearing me?
Yes.
Is this all right so far?
Yes.
Now look at verse 6. Then God said, wow. Look at verse 9. Then God said. Verse 11. Then God said. Verse 14. Then God said. Verse 20. Then God said. Do you see what's happening here? Look at verse 24. Then God said. How did the world become? If God's going to speak things into existence, I wonder if that's the same way it works for us. Why would it be any different? Well, I hope God hears me. Well, I hope something happens. Well, you can hope that way, but you can also begin to live God's way. In fact, here's a powerful scripture. Look over at verse 26. Then God said, but look what it goes on to say. Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion on the earth. I wonder if what God was trying to plan for you and I is that we could have dominion in this earth, but we've allowed ourselves to be dominated. And the only victories we're really looking for is when we feel like the devil's harassing us. We'll fight the devil all night long and say, praise God, it took me 14 hours, but I overcame the devil. I won over the devil, and now I'm victorious again. Well, the reality is you didn't have to fight the devil. Jesus already defeated him. He said, the battle's been won. The victory is yours. The only battle you're called to fight is the fight of faith, and it talks about in 1 Peter. Fight the good fight of faith and lay hold of that which was before you. So my job is to fight the fight of faith. How do you fight the fight of faith? You learn to speak the word.
Amen.
It's not that hard. Learn to speak the word. Do like Jesus does. Do like God did. In fact, here's the results of faith. Let's jump forward from there. Here's some results of faith. Look at Rahab in Joshua. We're not going to take time to turn over there, but in Joshua chapter 2, in verses 3 through 9, it talks about Rahab. She was hiding away some men that were from God, and the people of the city knew they were. And she knew that God's people were the chosen people, and she knew that God had given them the cities. And the Bible says because of her faith, she was saved. Her faith! In fact, when you turn over to Hebrews, let's go over to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 31. Hebrews chapter 11. Is everybody still leaning forward? You still believing? Hebrews 11. This is talking about Rahab, a prostitute, one thrown out of society, one not seen as much. But in the eyes of God, He sees people through His eyes. He sees people through the blood of Jesus. Somebody say, you don't know all my shortcomings. You don't know my handicaps. You don't know my frailties. Oh, they're known to man, but God sees His whole. And one day we're all going to step into eternity. We're in eternity now, but we're going to step into the ultimate eternity, and we'll have wholeness in every area. So why not contend for it now? Why not believe for it now and realize that's what God's plan is for every one of us? Some people get so caught up in this earthly vessel because they can't see in faith what eternity holds them. It's just a moment. Some people have setbacks and it totally throws their life off. If you could see life the way God does generationally, this is just a vapor, but a moment. Yes, it's hard. Yes, it's a challenge. Yes, it's unfair. I couldn't agree with you more. And I'm going to weep with you, but I'm also going to rejoice with you what's in front. See things in perspective. So here's Rahab. It says in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 31. Well, let's just read from verse 30. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. Now look at verse 31. By faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe when she received the spies with peace. So here's Rahab, a harlot, a prostitute, but she knew there was something better. It was God. And the Bible says her faith. I wonder what your faith could do for you if you'd learned to use it the right way. Let's look at another example. Because people say, well, I just don't have faith, or I just can't do it. Well, look at another. How about the woman from Canaan? Look at Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15. Love the sound of pages turning. Matthew chapter 15. Look at in verses 21. We're not going to take time to read it through the whole way. But let me just share a little bit what takes place. Here's a woman, her daughter is in great need, and she's coming to Jesus to get help from Jesus. And he says, don't you know that I need to be about my father's business? I'm looking after his children. She goes, yeah, I understand that. But he says, she says, I need to be healed. And he says, I'm here to feed my people. She goes, yeah, but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall to the floor of the master's table. You can call me a dog, you can call me a hog, you can call me a frog. I don't care, but all I know is you're my healer, and I know that you can give me what I have need of, so my faith is give me the crumbs. How many people take offense in life? And you walk in wilderness for many years until finally one day you realize it doesn't really matter what people call you, it's who God sees you as. I remember when we first moved to Australia, I was getting ready to get on the train to run to the trains to go to the city because I had to do some visa issues, immigration issues. And so this guy saw me kind of standing on the side of the road, and he comes up and says, oh, so who are you? And I said, oh, my name's such and such. He goes, I can detect an accent. And inside I'm thinking, this guy's very intelligent. Because I knew he's getting ready to have a go at me. I don't know what, but you know how you just know? They got that sarcastic. He says, so what exactly are you doing in this country? I said, well, my wife and I have come here. We do humanitarian work in parts of Asia. He goes, oh, so you're calling yourself a missionary. No, I said, no, I didn't. You did. He says, well, you're not a missionary. He says, because I happen to know that you're not a part of such and such an organization, are you? I said, well, what does that matter? Well, he said, unless you're this organization, and he said a particular denomination, He said, unless you're part of this denomination, you're nothing. And this is exactly what I did. God's my witness. I look at him and I says, you know what, Bob? I don't care if, and it's going to come back to a story I had to share. I don't care if you think I'm a dog, a hog, a frog, or a donkey. All I know is Jesus loves you and he has a plan for your life. Because when you're dead, it doesn't matter what people think of you. It's whose you are. I mean, the guy just sat there, he didn't know what to say. And then when I finally went and got on the train, he jumps on too, and now he's feeling real uncomfortable, you know, because I just killed him with kindness, I guess. And you know the coolest thing about that story is, while he's busy being religious and being critical and being judgmental, what actually happened on the train ride in, this guy that sat next to me, I began to talk to him and began to share with him. Begin to, you know, talking just small talk, but then I'll always eventually at some point say, so what church do you go to? Just, you know, just do it as a matter of fact, like everybody goes to church. See, we always like to think nobody goes to church anymore. I just choose to be ignorant. I just think everybody goes to church. So that's why I always ask them, oh, where do you go to church, by the way? Because, see, that's my locator question. But that's when I know where they're at. You see? And this guy says, well, I go to the Catholic church. I'm Catholic. I says, oh, wonderful, I'm Catholic too. Because Catholic means church universal. He didn't say Roman Catholic, he said Catholic. So now he's opening up. Anyway, long story short, I begin to share with him, pray for him. And now I told the guy, do you want to receive Jesus right now? And guess who's sitting across the train watching our every move? The judger. But I don't care. I still love him. I believe in him. God touch him. But this guy right in the train station, I had my newspaper, so I said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm just going to open up my newspaper, because you don't need to shame people. You don't have to try to, we're going to really prove to the world we're going to get saved. He's got to get on his knees in front of everybody and really. No, who said you got to do that? I just said, man, I'm going to open up my newspaper, but I'm going to pray with you right now. With eyes open, and you can receive Jesus. And we did it. Power of God touched him. He started weeping, just like I've seen so many times. Well, the guy next to us, he notices it going on. He says, what's going on? I began to witness with him, too. We had a revival in the train. But you know what that came off the back of? That came off the back of someone saying, I'm nothing. But you know what? I don't care what people think I am. I know whose I am, whose I belong to. I don't care what people think I am. I know whose I am. That's not a haughty thing. That's not an arrogant thing. It's just a matter of fact. We're a child of the Most High God. The life of God's inside of us. The favor of God rests upon us. We're positioned in God. Amen? Do you hear me? And that's what the Rahab realized, and that's what the woman from Canaan realized. I don't care what you call me. Call me a dog, but I just need healing for my daughter. Give me the crumbs. God, I like that kind of faith. Jesus said to her, your faith has made you well. Go tell your daughter she's healed. I like it. How about the centurion man? Look over at Luke chapter 7. Are you getting this? Is it coming alive? Man, some of you are even going to be able to pray for the Vikings to win today now. You're getting faith. I believe they can win. Of course, you don't. You keep with the Chicago. That's all right. We'll let you do that. We'll talk later today. We'll see who has the faith. But look at Luke chapter 7. We don't allow cheeseheads in here, mate. How many cheeseheads here? Oh, jeez. Lord, help me. Lord, I need help. I need help, Lord. I need help. Remember we said it don't matter what people call you, you still love them? That's right. That's right. No, I'm not against the Packers either, really. Thank you. Gee, I know why you're praying for them, because the Chicago needs to lose so Green Bay can become number one again. But chapter 7, Luke chapter 7, Jesus heals the centurion's servant. You know what I love about this? Again, we're not going to take time for the sake of time. But what I love about this is this guy, he's not even part of the chosen group. He was a centurion. He's a part of the Roman army. He was a ruler of 100 people. And basically he came and told Jesus, my servant's dying. Can you help him? But watch what he does. He doesn't even want Jesus to come to his house. He doesn't feel worthy that he'd even come to his house. He said, Jesus, just say the word. Did you hear what I just said? Just say the word. How did God create the earth? Said things. How did Rahab receive her faith? Because she said something. I'm going to look after these people. God saw it as faith. How did the centurion woman, the woman of Canaan receive? She said, yeah, Lord, but even the dogs take the crumbs. Jesus looked at her and said, I've not seen such great faith, not even in Israel. Wow. Now the centurion man, he said, Jesus, you don't need to come to my house. Just say the word. There's something powerful about speaking the word of God. That's why we study the word. That's why we meditate upon God's word. It hadn't changed. It's always been that way. Amen? So look with me now what it says in verse 9 of Luke 7. When Jesus heard these things, what I just told you about, he marveled at him and turned around and said to the crowd that followed him, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. He's basically saying, this guy isn't even an Israelite. But man, he's got great faith. I wonder what kind of faith you and I have. Can I tell you? Great faith. Because we're going to learn to say what we see. What we see in the Word, we're going to say it. Circumstances are real. Reports will come against you. You don't deny them. Faith never denies the truth. Or faith will never even deny the facts. Doctor says you have cancer. That's cool. That's fine. I understand. Faith never denies the facts. Faith just calls things that are not as though they are. By faith, according to God's word, it says, by Jesus' stripes I was healed, so I'm going to choose to receive my healing. Yeah, but Brother Tom, you don't even realize we just lost one of our dear ones this week. Yeah, I understand. We live in an imperfect world. And sometimes, I don't know everybody's situation, everybody's circumstances, but the reality is, sometimes when people touch over to the other side when they're still here, they decide, you know what, it is good here, I love my family, but man, it's so much better over here and they're coming too. I don't have all the answers, don't pretend to, but I do know this. We live in a broken, busted down world that's not perfect. Otherwise, we'd fight to stay here. But when you see the other side, what's the worst thing that can happen to us? Leave this earth. No, I'm talking about if you're a believer. Go to hell is true, but that's not going to happen to us because everybody here this morning, I'm believing by faith. If they're not, we're going to have 100% going to heaven. That's what my faith's in. I believe every time the word is brought forth, everybody there is going to be saved. Now, whether they do or not, it's their call. But it's not a sin issue. The sin's already been dealt with. It's a repentance issue. That's why we don't preach sin. That's why we don't challenge people's sin. That's where the problem is. Too often as Christians, we want to judge people's sin. The sin was already judged on the cross through the blood of Jesus. Our job is to proclaim the goodness of God. See, the Bible said it's the goodness of God that leads men to repentance. Oh, you wretched old sinner, you smoke, you drink, you got tattoos, you wear your stocking hat, you wear your hat backwards. We've got all the reasons why they can't be saved. Well, that's not even the issue. It's all been covered in the blood. We're called to preach salvation, hope, peace, freedom. We don't preach hell. We preach heaven. Yeah, but what about the sin issue? Yeah, Jesus dealt with the sin issue, but what we have to do is bring people to repentance. How you come to repentance is accept the fact that you have sinned, and there is a sin issue, so I need to repent of it, because the Bible says if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God is raised from the dead, we shall be saved, saved from our sin. Right? I'm not saying there isn't a sin issue, But I'm saying it's been dealt with through Jesus. So now there isn't. Are you hearing what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You say, is that biblical? Yeah, that's the problem. Too many Christians, we're so busy judging people's sin when we should be proclaiming Jesus. Now, this isn't you personally, because anybody that sits two seats away from Bo, everything's good. But if she's got compromise in life, you say, you're sinning, you're coming short, you'll never make it, does that motivate her to want to be saved?
No.
What about, you know what, I know you're feeling condemned. I know you feel less than. But the reality is, Jesus took that place for you on the cross. And we do need to deal with it, but it's not to bring out all your sin. It's to bring a person to repentance. And see, that's what the Holy Spirit will do. He'll convict people of their sin so then they can receive Jesus and be forgiven of it. See, and that's why for me, I have a great job. I get to go around all over the world telling people how much God loves them, how much Jesus loves them, what Jesus did on the cross for them. So we don't have to rehearse all their sins. Yeah, but you don't know how much I did wrong. You know what? Keep that between you and God. All I know is Jesus died for every bit of it. So instead of rehearsing all your past, let me tell you about your present and what your future can be in Christ. And when you do sin, and when you do come short, 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. So if you're got rid of unrighteousness, now you are righteous. So let's live on the righteous side of life. Is that all right? Now I want to show you four steps to receive an answer to prayer every time. There might be six, but I can see four. Look at Romans chapter 10. We're going to close with this. Romans chapter 10, verses 13 and 14. I'm putting it up on the screen for you. Romans chapter 10. They had it up as before we started speaking, but everybody can look up here because I want to show you something. And I want you to write this down because this is what you're going to take with you so you can begin to apply Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday in your life. You don't need to come to the pastor's office. You don't need to run to the church. I'm going to show you how you can do that at home. Four steps to answered prayer. It's so easy. Look at it in Romans chapter 10, verses 13 and 14. It says, for whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. You see that? Now look at verse 14. How then shall they call on Him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Does everybody see that? Now if you'll notice, verse 13 has one sentence. How many sentences does verse 14 have? Three, isn't it? See what it says? Look at verse 14. How then shall they? And look at the second sentence. And how shall they? And the last sentence says, and how shall they? Does everybody see that? Can I watch? I'm going to do this. You can't always do this in Scripture, but just for the sake of what I want to show you today, and I want you to write this down, four steps to answered prayer every time. Look at the last three words of the last sentence that starts out, and how shall they hear? It says, without a preacher. See that? Now look at the first part of that same sentence that says, without a preacher. What's it say? And how shall they
hear?
So number one, hear. So take your notes, say, steps to answered prayer. Number one, hear. Put that down. You're going to need it later, Angela. Here's my pen. You don't have a pen? I got you one. I've got to look after you, Angela. You were so nice and greet me and make sure I looked good, felt confident, so I'm going to help you now. So, without a preacher, how shall you
hear?
Just on a side note, how does faith come?
By hearing.
Romans 10:17 says, so then faith comes by hearing. So now we got the hearing part. We know how faith comes by hearing. So, without hearing, now let's look at the middle sentence. And how shall they
believe?
You guys are good. So number two is believe. And without believing, look at the first sentence of verse 14. How then shall they? Does everybody see that? Okay. And without calling, look at the last three words of verse 13. Shall be. Do you see that? Does everybody see it?
Yeah.
All right, so number four is saved. Okay, now everybody look up here for a moment. Here's what the script says. Without a preacher, how shall you
hear?
Without hearing, how shall you
believe?
Without believing, how shall you or confess, declare, speak, proclaim, decree, right? And without calling, how shall you? Or healed, delivered, restored, prospered. Let me say something. The same way you get saved is the same way you get healed. See, some people think you get saved one way, and now we got a new set of rules to receive healing. Oh, we got to labor hard. We got to run. We got to fast. We got to run around the church seven times. We got to get into works. And if we do it long enough and hard enough, God's going to reward our works. No. Hear, believe, speak. Is that hard? Let's say someone's here today and you have need of healing. Find scriptures on healing. Find it in the Word. And now because you've heard it, you can believe it. You can begin to declare it. Thank you, Father, that when hands are laid unto me, I'll receive healing. Thank you that your word says, by Jesus' stripes I was healed. Thank you, Father, your word says that Jesus went about healing all that will pray. And you begin to speak the word. You say, why are you doing that? Because you're trying to keep your thoughts, what you say, and what you do in check until the full manifestation. See, the whole purpose of our belief system is to govern or to keep in check what I think, what I say, and what I do until the manifestation comes. Does that make sense? Because God doesn't work in our time frame. How many receive from that today? Does that help you? So four steps again, and then we're going to pray. Number one, we got to. Number two, we got to. Number three. Number four. And you know what? How hard is it to believe? It's the easiest thing in the world. All you got to do is hear. Here's where people get in trouble. The believing is the easy part. Where people get in trouble is that's why when Pastor opened up with James 1, 19. No, you said 19, didn't you? Every good and perfect gift? No, you didn't. Sorry. Let every man, watch, in James 1, 19, let every man be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to wrath or anger. Why? Because the quicker you respond to a situation, the more apt you are to respond in the flesh. But a wise man governs his tongue. He listens to his heart. Let's pray. Father, I thank you today that we've received your word on the journey of faith. Father, I thank you for these wonderful people. We've engaged, we've had fun, we've laughed, we've even wept over situations. But you're still God, and you're in every situation. You're in our lows, you're in our highs. You're in our sideways, you're in our uprightness. You're there. And Father, I thank you for every person under the sound of my voice here this morning has an opportunity to repent of their sin, to repent of the things that separates them from God. It's not a sin issue with them. It's a repentance issue. How many here this morning that don't know you in a personal way can humble themselves and say, forgive me of the sin that separates me from God? It's just that easy. It's not a hard thing. It's not a difficult thing. You can do it today. So everybody here on the sound of my voice, I'm going to pray for two groups of people. Either A, you're here today and you haven't dealt with the sin issue that we've talked about. Jesus died for you. Jesus took it away. But until you repent of your lifestyle and the way you're going and ask Him to come in and save you, you're separated. Or maybe once you did that, you did pray at one point and you did receive the Lord, but you've backslidden, you've walked away. You're out of fellowship. You're not where you need to be today. And you say, you know what, today I need to come home. I need to make things right. I need to declare it. I know the power of confession, so I need to do it today. Well, we're going to do that. We're going to give everybody an opportunity to do that. So here's what I want to do is everybody bows their head, everybody close their eyes. I want to ask you a question today. You personally, not your neighbor, not your friend, be honest enough. We're going to pray for you right where you're at in your seat. We're not going to pull you up to the front. We're not going to try to embarrass you, but we do want to pray with you. We're going to pray as a church. But if you're here this morning and you know that you can't think of a time in your life where you've asked Jesus to forgive you of your sin, so that you can have eternal life in Him. Or you once prayed to receive Him, but through circumstances and challenges, setbacks, you've just fallen away, and you say, today I need to come home. Today I need to pray. Any one of those account, when I count to three, I want you to raise your hands. One, two, three. Just slip your hand up right now in Jesus' name. Come on, slip it up, slip it up. Yep, yep, right across to you. Anyone else? That's me, just be honest. Sir, right up at the back. Yep, fantastic. I'm raising my hand today. I want to receive the Lord. I want to recommit my life to the Lord. I'm just going to ask one more time. Once you raise your hand, you can put it back down. But I'm going to ask one more time. I don't want to let this opportunity go. I want to make sure we got everything right. If you're here, don't hold back from this moment. Don't say, man, I wish I would've. No, no, well, don't have to wish. We're going to do it right now. One more time. You're here. You've not responded yet. But you know you should have. In fact, I'm going to make it so much easier for you. Church praying. Bow your head, close your eyes. But if you haven't raised your hand yet, but you know you need to, and whatever reason you're just struggling with it, just look up, give me eye contact, and by giving me eye contact, that's your uplifted hand, I'm going to acknowledge it, and then I'm going to pray for you. So as I look across one more time, your right, my left, I'm just looking across, and if that's you, you haven't raised your hand yet, you should have, but just give me eye contact, you're saying, yep, that's me, count me on this prayer too. I'm just looking across, seeing if there's any person I need to pray for, just right across. Anyone over here? Is this you back here, man? Bless you. Anyone else? Say, yep, that's me. We're not going to embarrass you. Just want to pray. Is this you right here, man? Anyone else? Is this you right here? And then you up here. Here's what I want to do. Every one of you that we're going to pray for, we're going to pray for you right in your chairs, like I said. Can I just have everyone look up here right now? Everybody look up. We're not going to bring anybody forward, but I'm going to pray for you. Like I said, we're going to join as a church. So you know who you are that raised your hand or gave me eye contact. Across the front, right as people, couple people sprinkled through there. But let's everybody stand up right now. We've been seated a while. And let's pray this together. We got six people that have responded. That's pretty cool, isn't it? Six people. Yeah, let's. Man, that's a revival in a church this side. You can go to church with a few, several hundred, and they had six people respond. That'd be phenomenal. But this is a community church with six people. But especially you that raise your hands, I want you to pray out loud. Let's all pray this together. Say, Heavenly Father, your word says, if I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in my heart that God is raised from the dead, I shall be saved. For with my heart I believe, and with my mouth I confess, Jesus is Lord. Thank you, Father, for saving me. Amen. Let's give him another hand. Hallelujah. Well, listen, we did go a little over. I apologize. Can you sit down? I'm just going to show you a three-minute video. We do work in Cambodia, and Pastor and his wife are gracious enough, as he said beforehand, wants to receive an offering for us. And, you know, we do live in Australia. We are missionaries there. We are part of Hillsong. But we do work in Southeast Asia. And we have over 100 wells in Cambodia now, but we're at about 92 churches. And we're reaching about 140,000 people. I did share this video last year, but when you sow today, whatever's on your heart to do, we're not challenging or pushing or forcing anything. We're just merely showing you what we're doing in Cambodia. If you want to be a part of that, Pastor's going to give you an opportunity. But let's go ahead and have a look at the three-minute DVD about Cambodia. Thanks again. Sorry, man, I went on a little bit long.
Can Cambodia as a nation is in a state of tragedy from 1975 to 1979. Roughly 2 million innocent people were murdered by their own government. And Cambodia is a beautiful country, and it's been left in extreme poverty and a sense of hopelessness. It's a spiritual void there. Only 1% have ever heard the name Jesus Christ. Anzo and I began to sense that we needed to get involved in helping to bring a solution to the problems in Cambodia.
You can see these beautiful little children here. I'm standing by this water supply here that's infested with bacteria and just every kind of filth you can imagine. It's got waste from animals going into it. And you know, the sad thing is, in Cambodia, 1 in every 5 children will die by the age of 6 because of water-related diseases. And we can make a difference. To be a blessing, we can come to a place like this, drill a fresh water well, and make a difference to bring fresh water to children around the world. And so because of you people, God is able to reach his hand out and touch their lives and make a difference in them. It's just one well that can make so much difference, and we thank God for you people.
We go to their village, we drill a water well through fresh drinking water. We are impacting people's lives. Each water well that has been drilled in the villages has the potential to reach between 1,000 and 1,500 people.
This is Pastor Choa and his wife Nai. And they pastor out here, and this is all their children.
As we look to the future, we have great excitement in our hearts and much hope. We can anticipate God doing incredible things. In fact, our heart is to see 100 freshwater wells and plant 100 churches in these villages so that we can reap the end time harvest for the name of Jesus Christ. Believers, fellow man, as we begin to charge forward, we have great excitement because of faithful people like you that are hooking up with the vision of making a difference in Cambodia.
You know, on offering envelopes, and if you need an envelope, again, go ahead and raise your hand. But on the very first part of that, we have the front of that, we have the scripture that says, let each one do just as he's purposed in his heart. Not grudgingly or under compulsion. For God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to make all grace abound to you, that always having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good deed. And we believe for not just sufficiency, not just the Lord supplying our needs, but we continue to believe and we speak that God has abundance for us so that we can be involved in every good deed, is what it says. There's a lot of good deeds that we're not connected with yet. Here's a possible good deed that you can express your faith and trust the Lord to supply and give you the resources to be able to be a help to this good deed as well. And again, as we're saying, as you purpose in your heart, as the Spirit of God directs you in your heart, not because you're compelled to, not because the plate goes in front of you, just because God directs you to do that. And we'll ask his blessing on these gifts as well. Father, again, thank you for the way that we have been ministered to here this morning. Lord, the directive word regarding our faith and how we can put our faith into action. Father, how we can hear to receive faith by your word, Lord, and then speak it out and believe in our hearts, Father, and be enabled to receive answers to our prayers. And Lord, my prayer is that we can connect with this ministry as well through our giving. Father, not to just have received a blessing, a spiritual blessing today, but to be able to respond, Father, with a physical blessing is just as appropriate according to your word, that if those that come to us and minister to us spiritual things, it's appropriate that we respond with physical things to help to supply. And we want to connect, Lord, with this ministry that, as we see by the DVD, Lord, is being effective in other parts of this world, Lord, to bring the gospel, to bring the word of the gospel, to bring help to those with physical needs as well. We just thank you, Father, and we just ask your blessing upon these gifts as they're received in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Go ahead and receive.